Begin Podfix Network transmission in 3, 2, 1.
Suckers in the back seat, mama's home hungry.
Mark my words, Michael Knight will die.
I am the voice of Knight Industry 2000's microprocessor.
You wish to eat, you wish to drink, you wish to reproduce.
Yeah.
Which one first?
Excuse me, I was wondering if I could get a Hill student loan.
I think you're in the wrong department.
Hey, Greg, I made something for you.
I hope it wasn't something in your pants.
No, it wasn't. I made a life-size bust of your face made out of curdled eggnog bits.
Curdled eggnog bits. Do you have to strain out the eggnog?
Yes. Well, I let it sit. It's been sitting in my basement since last year, so I've been waiting for this moment. I let it curdle for 12 whole months. December 10th, 2019 is when I started curdling the eggnog.
Oh, that's great. So it's a good vintage. So, you know, I got to say, it's eggnog time again. We love the eggnog, don't we?
We sure do.
It's so good.
I'm thinking,
you know, we've never done our thing of wanting to freeze some eggnog in the winter and then drink it in the summer. We haven't done that yet.
God, I think we've talked about that for how many years have we been doing this? 4 years?
Yeah, forever.
I think we've talked about doing that for at least 4 years of podcasting, and probably long before that. We've never actually done it. Maybe I'll actually do it this year.
I know. I kind of want to, but then I'll probably drink it.
That's true. I probably won't.
What happened to us last year, I wanted to do it, and they stopped selling eggnog right when I thought about doing it. So,
Well. They're really like, it's like the day after Christmas, eggnog stops. Like, honestly, like it just disappears off the shelves.
The day eggnog stops.
The day the eggnog stopped, Greg. Well, what I was going to say was, so this is episode, whatever it is, releases on the 13th. So next Sunday will be our last episode before Christmas. So I think we need to, even though it's going to be remote, I think we need to have some eggnog and brandy together on the podcast, and Randy's going to be here too.
Absolutely.
And I think Randy is a big Randy's yes. an eggnog guy as well, so we can get him convinced to have some eggnog and brandy. We'll be good to go.
Oh, very good. We can all get our favorite nogs and talk about the differences and talk about what brandies we're drinking.
Yeah,
and
I think that's a wonderful idea. Absolutely.
Let's get ripped on eggnog and brandy.
I'm here for it, 100%. Hey, Greg.
Get all bloated and burpy. Hey, Dave.
Welcome to Champa and Klein, the Knight Rider Years, a podcast by two friends who share a love of classic 80s television. I'm your host, Dave Champa.
And I'm your host, Greg Klein. Damn it.
I'm your other host, Dave Klein.
I'm Gregory Champa.
Oh, you're my dad?
Yeah.
Hi, Dad.
Well, hello, son. What's up?
I don't know if we've ever talked about trying to get my father on this show, and he refuses because all he wants to talk about is the Egyptians.
I know. We did try to get him on the show, and we even got a giant book about ancient Egypt that we were just going to have him read out of.
Right.
It never happened, though.
He buckles at every... I'm like, Dad, we're ready for you. He goes, I don't know if you're ready, guys. I don't know. I'm like, Dad, like, it's like, come on the show. I'm still not convinced. We're going to get him on the show at some point. I think it's going to be amazing.
One of these times. Maybe he'll like
That's
Airwolf.
I should ask him if he watched Airwolf, because I know he watched Knight Rider when he was 31 when Knight Rider came out. So, Greg, I missed you.
I've missed you, sir.
Oh, how has your week been?
It's been okay. It's been pretty good. Yeah. Snowy. Well, I don't want to say snow. More like sleet and ice.
Oh, God. It's been awful.
It's been terrible, but... It's good. I mean, it took us 4 days really to clear up at work, so that's okay.
That really
a lot of chipping. Yeah, it was all you know, frozen like 3 inches of ice in the shade and then on the walkways and stuff, and nothing, you know, whatever.
All right,
but that's all good. Things are great. I ordered a cord of wood, so we can have a fire pit action all winter.
So let me ask you a question about the fire pit. So that's actually, it's quite a ways out from your back porch. Do you have to, would you snow blow down to it, or would you just dig out a path if you get enough snow?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. If there's enough snow, I might just snow blow a path so that we can just go down there and hang out.
Yeah.
And I bought some like privacy fence windbreak stuff so that we can set it up and we have our outdoor space heater there. Yeah, we definitely want to have outdoor parties.
Well, I think we're
outdoor
planning,
hangouts.
I think we're planning on doing that a lot more this year because we used, since, you know, COVID and all that, we've been using our fire pit a lot more this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the far back part of our yard, so I'm going to have to start taking the snowblower up in the snowstorms if we get enough. I had to do it last year to get to the oil tank because the oil guy couldn't get there. Though I have a funny story about the last time I tried to snowblow up the hill through my backyard. I ended up vomiting afterwards. So I had to put two, because it was really icy, so I had to put a lot of, like, you know, upper body force to kind of get it up the hill to go. And I think I must have pushed something a little too hard, because when I got back down the hill, I started sweating profusely, and Kristen said I was green. I ran to the bathroom, and I vomited for like 5 minutes afterwards.
Well, I think, you know, that's probably the better route that could have gone. You could have pushed really hard, and something else could have happened.
Okay, so I actually thought I was going to, so that's why I sat on the toilet. But I also had to hold a trash bag in front of me because I was vomiting into the trash bag, but nothing. No poopies came out.
That is, I'm sorry. That's hilarious. I love it.
I had to laugh about it afterwards because I came out. I still had my winter hat on, and Kristen's like, "Are you okay?" She could see like dark bags under my eyes, and I'm just like slumped against the wall. I'm like, "I'm fine. This is great." Nope, I'm not going back out to snowblow.
Was this before? Did you eat something or empty stomach?
It was like 6:30 in the morning, maybe 7 o'clock, and so I'd gotten up and had a cup of coffee and like half a bagel, so I'd had something in my system.
You know, it might be because it was 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. You're doing strenuous physical work. That doesn't work for
me. The sun hadn't even come up yet, so I was snow blowing by that little headlight on the front of the snowblower going up the hill.
Well, that's cool. But you know what you could do this winter is that when you get it all cleared out to your fire pit, you should just put the snowblower on the fire.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Although I think this is one of my favorite toys that I've had. It's it is the best snowblower, I think. I mean, it came from Kristen's grandfather, who he went into assisted living a couple years ago. So when we went to move him out of his house, I had asked, "Does anyone want this?" And they all said, "No, no, no, you take it, you take it." And it is the greatest snowblower I have ever used. I actually ended up snow blowing both my driveway and the neighbor's, and it was solid ice. Just blast the shit out of that ice.
Nice.
It was fun. I was blasting like ice chunks at my girls. It was really fun. Yeah. It was a fun game. Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably not the safest. I'm really excited though, because at work we have a big John Deere tractor mounted snow blower that I get to tool around with.
Oh,
so
I'm jealous.
That's pretty fun. It's pretty fun, David.
But other than that, like, my week has been—it's been a pretty good week. I don't want to say I've hit the winter doldrums yet because it's not even the official first day of winter. But I'm kind of feeling it a little bit. Eva—I don't know if I told you guys this last week, but Eva was directly exposed to someone with COVID, so she has to quarantine at home for 2 weeks. So she's got another full week from this recording. She's got another full week of quarantine, so she's feeling it. I think we're all kind of feeling it pretty bad.
It's a weird sort of subtle stress that's just there, and it's hard to pinpoint. Like, I can kind of dodge it, but there's definitely this weird vibe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think that's it. And it's just like, you know, at this point, we're 8 days since her exposure, so at this juncture, she should start showing symptoms. And like, so if she hasn't shown symptoms at this point, I'm pretty sure, knock on wood, that I think we're in the clear, but we still have to adhere to the 14-day quarantine rule. I actually still have to go to work because I'm considered a secondary exposure, which makes no sense because my kid basically licks my face every day.
Oh, that's unusual, but oh, sure. Yeah. No, I thought secondary exposures in the same household didn't quite make sense. They just kind of wait and see. That's what it is. It's like, oh, wait and see if until you start feeling sick or you get a positive, you know, response on the test or whatever.
I mean, I got a COVID test. I'm still waiting on the results. But, I mean, again, I'm feeling fine. I'm on day eight since the experience.
Is that the test I gave you with that toilet paper tube?
It was. It wasn't. Yeah. It really hurt. But I'm okay. I don't know why you haven't given me results yet, but whatever, man.
Because I'm just kind of dragging my feet. Hey, Dave, I have a feeling that we're dodging something here.
What are we dodging? Because I also have a lot of hotline messages. Do we want to dodge for a few more minutes?
No, I feel like we just, you know, don't want to talk about this episode for some reason.
I can't imagine why. I don't know. Could it have something to do with the fact that it was quite possibly the worst episode of the series? I don't know. I don't know if I want to go there yet.
Okay. So hotline messages or do we talk about Knight Rider for a bit?
I mean, we've got quite a few hotline messages. We could probably breeze through them in about 5 or 10 minutes just so we could actually finally get fully caught up. Or do you want to just get into the episode and we'll kind of breeze through that?
You know what? let's get caught up on our hotline messages, and then we can talk about how much this episode was a bag of shit.
All right, let's do it. I'm going to start off the first one. So this is someone who's called the show before, so remind you, this first podcast, this first voicemail is dating back to October 20th. That's how far back we are.
God, we suck.
And so that was, you know, October 20th was a day that I would rather not remember in my personal life, but that's when this last one came in. So that's how far back we are. So we're going to try to cruise through these as quick as possible. So are you ready for this, Greg?
Light it up.
All right, here we go.
So guys, I checked the podcast feed, and we seem to have missed an episode. Season 4, episode 12, The Scent of Roses, Another Visit with Whitebird. I don't see it on the podcast list, but who knows? But me and Tim have thoroughly enjoyed Killer Kit and are going to be getting out of the woods with this next episode. Looking forward to listening to your podcast, guys. Keep it up.
Okay, so I don't know who that was. They don't introduce themselves. I want to say it might be Luke, but based on the area code that the number came in from, I don't think it's him. But he does.
So
ask,
did we skip one due to doing some order thingy that
so
we wanted to
we
do?
We did. We skipped the Scent of Roses because, according to the fans, even though Scent of Roses was filmed and aired in the middle of season 4, it really does serve as a really good closure to the series. And a lot of fans and people who've been watching the show for 30 some odd years still consider that to be the final episode. That's why we jumped it, because I think for us, I think it would be more fitting close, like we did with MacGyver when they had The Stringer, but then The Mountain of Youth came out like 2 months later and it made no sense to watch that one first.
That's very true. Yes.
So that's kind of why we did that. So we will go to Scent of Roses in a couple weeks, but we just decided that it makes more sense for us to close out the show with a more fitting conclusion to Knight Rider. So that's your answer. All right, Greg, you ready for the next one?
No.
Okay, here we go.
Hello, Tampa and Klein. This is Optimus Prime. I would like to apologize for the state of my previous voicemail. Teletran 1 has received an update, and it's been crashing. First of all, let me answer the questions from your human listeners. As far as our hobo oils, I can't give you all the details, or the Decepticons will learn our methods. All I can say is no hobos are killed in the making of our finest hobo oils.
Okay.
Harmed, maybe, but never killed. Now, as far as what happens to our human passengers when we transform, they are ejected. I hope this answers all questions that your human listeners have. Thank you for all of your great podcast hours. Me and Bumblebee are huge fans. Autobots, roll out till all are one.
So yeah, we did have that question. What happens when someone's inside of a transformer when it transforms?
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, perhaps, yeah, that's the answer. They get ejected. So that's great. That's good to know.
I mean, I'm glad that we have an answer to that. Optimus, I apologize for waiting so long. I know it's been almost 2 months, but hopefully you hear this. Give us a call back. Just call and say hi. We like, or any other animated character for that matter, I'd be more than happy to hear from. So please consider giving us a call on the hotline. Greg, you ready for the next one? It's from our buddy Clint. We haven't heard from him in a little while.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Hey guys, Clint here. Hey, I've been watching a lot of Knight Rider lately, and I saw a really good one the other day. Just want to ask, do you guys remember this one? This was the one where it started out with Michael and Kit. They went out, they rolled out the back of the truck onto the highway, and they were in some small town in California somewhere, and there was this girl there who was in trouble, and they needed to help her. So Michael started trying to help her, and then it turns out there's these bad guys, and while they're trying to solve the mystery, Michael was talking to Kit, and they were like joking with each other in the car, and that part was really funny. But then while they were going up against the bad guys, they got into like this high speed chase. Then Michael hit the turbo boost button and Kit jumped, and man, it was awesome. That was such a good moment. And then he got the girl back where she was supposed to be and stuff, and then they became friends. But then towards the end, she gave Michael a kiss, because that's what friends who are friends with the Hoff do. They don't just like give him a handshake or something.
So, of course.
I mean, that was cute and all. But then at the end, when Michael saw Devin and Bonnie, and they had a little joke at the end. That was really funny, too. So it was just a great episode, really memorable, and I just wondered if you guys remembered that one. Hope everything's going all right with you guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
Dude, that was one of my top favorite times.
I would probably put that in my top two of the series, no question.
Yeah, that bit with Kit was fantastic.
Yeah, he actually leaves a follow-up like 30 seconds later, so I'm going to play the follow-up right now.
Okay.
Oh, man, I nearly forgot the best part. After the turbo boost, that's when the bad guy tried to get out of the car, and then Michael ran up to him and punched him in the face. Just punched him, right? Just decked him. And that was awesome, man. That was a really good episode. So I hope – I know he goes to California. Well, yeah. It was great. I'm rambling now. Talk to you later. Bye.
That he was right, though. That was a part that I had kind of forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
When he punches the guy in the face after the turbo boost, that was
it was the best episode of that season by far.
Yeah, no question. It was the best part of that season. I'm for sure. Maybe the series, but we haven't finished the show yet, so I don't know. And then he leaves one message. It's very cryptic. I don't understand it, but we're gonna let it play, and we'll see what you have to say, Greg. You ready?
Okay.
The seasons are long. Land of Michael Knight and Kit. California.
That's it.
That's a haiku.
Is that what it is?
It's got to be. Didn't we have a whole thing about haikus once?
Did we?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so this was November 20th. This was left. So this was about 3.5 weeks ago. I don't remember haiku.
So it was about something. It must have been related to that episode he was just describing, because we were talking about haikus that one time, you know, and then we did all that haiku stuff, and then he gave us a haiku there.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you remembered it, because I had no fucking clue what that was. So actually, we moved through these really quickly. We have one more from Randy, and then we're completely caught up with our hotline messages.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Hey, guys. It's Randy again. I just had a thought that I also wanted to add on Night of a Thousand Devils. But so at the end of the episode, it's implied that Ana Lucia is going to take Delorca into, you know, Mexico custody, and then Michael's just going to be taking I'm blanking on his name right now, but the other guy back. And so I'm just curious how that legal fiasco would go about, you know, the fact that Michael apprehends, you know, a guy over the border where he didn't have permission to cross the border. You know, how does he bring him back? If he does bring him back, I'm sure that's going to come into court. I mean, the foundation would be under some pretty serious scrutiny of their tactics of how they, you know, apprehend people, especially since this is kind of an illegal way to go about it. I mean, Michael's definitely no Dark Knight.
Here's the thing, though, Randy. Don't you remember from our last episode? The government does not have any knowledge of Flag. They just gave them the name to get them off their ass.
Yeah. So I think that Flag probably has a bunch of dark sites all over the world. Most of them are in California, but there might be more. So he might have just held him at this dark site in Mexico that nobody knows about. And by dark site, I just mean a hole in the ground.
Well, where Michael can get thrown and get his neck broken, but then get out like nothing happened.
Oh, totally. Totally. Totes awesome. Yeah.
So we're now caught up with our voicemails. They took a lot. That was a lot quicker than I thought.
Well, it only took 2 months for us to do it because, you know, life happens and we just are lazy in general, so.
And honestly, we've been talking for 2 weeks about doing a bonus episode hotline catch-up. That's never going to happen, so.
And then we watched this absolute turd of an episode today, and then we're like, man, we can't talk for 60 minutes about this just uninspired, drivelly, boring, silly, lazy episode.
Let's time it, Greg. I give us less than 25 minutes before we're done talking about this episode. You ready?
All right,
for it?
Let's see what we can do.
All right, here we go, guys. It is season 4, episode 18, Night Flight to Freedom. Okay, now I have to say a little tiny bit of trivia before we jump in, or not. So this episode, so we are officially three episodes from the end. We have episode 19, 20, and 21, not counting going back to Scent of Roses. This episode contains the series' last ever turbo boost.
Does it really?
That was the last time the turbo boost gets used, and this is also the last time we see Kit in convertible mode.
Dude, you know what? I kind of wish I had known about that watching this, because, you know, it's it's slowly marking the end. The whole thing is winding down, and if that's the last turbo boost, man, I don't know what we can live for now.
I just wish that they hadn't reused the footage of Kit jumping over that ravine from earlier in the run of the show.
Did you recognize that? That was from the first season.
Of course I did. The big, it was Whitebird, wasn't it?
I don't know. Sure.
I don't remember what it was, but I was like, I'm watching this scene. I'm like, that's the same footage from a jump that they used like a long freaking time.
Yeah,
ago.
I think that was first season. You know what? That might have been the first turbo boost.
It very well could have. I guess it would be fitting.
Yeah, so I'm okay. If that's the case, maybe give them credit for using footage of the first turbo boost for the last turbo boost. But since they shot these out of order, I don't think they would have not. Who knows? Doesn't matter. Too much credit given. Forget it.
You know what else they use a lot of in this episode, Greg?
Hairspray?
Stock footage of volcanoes erupting.
Oh, yeah. Stock footage of Mexico, I guess.
When the volcanoes actually have nothing to do with the episode. It's just used for something for kids
None.
To do.
Zero.
No. Did you see the TV Guide ad that I put up on Instagram a couple days ago?
About that gentleman purporting to be Knight Rider?
Yes. That's exactly what it was. And the tagline on the ad says Night of the Volcano. And I'm like, that is the most, somebody on Twitter or maybe Instagram was like, that is the most misleading TV Guide ad. Like, because it has nothing.
Yeah.
The volcano, they're like, they talk about it briefly. They're like, we can't get over to the Capitol building because there's a 2.5 mile wide lava flow. How are we
going
to do
okay,
that?
Sure. No, there isn't. But yeah, you're right. There's nothing about it, but what I love that scene where RC and Michael are driving into wherever they're headed, and they get, oh look, there's a volcano over there, like you haven't seen it for the past 60 miles, like oh there it is, billowing smoke up into the atmosphere. I'm like, you're just
right.
Seeing it,
and on top of that, they're like, it's erupting like 3 days early, and they still have like, I think it's so funny, and my thinking like, I don't know anything about lava flows, but does 2.5 miles wide seem like a really wide lava flow? Or
I mean, probably not, but I don't know. Like, I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe
enough.
Not. I guess it depends on the volcano and the terrain and all that stuff.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I guess it's possible.
So, again, I don't want to talk about this point by point, so I want to talk about the things... I want to talk about what we really had a problem with. I want to talk about what we liked and then just see where things go. So let's talk about, because we don't have a lot of these, let's talk about the moments that we really liked in the episode. Are there any moments that really stuck out to you, Greg, when you watched this?
Well, the fact that RC is getting more and more prominent roles, I kind of like that.
Yep.
And their kind of stupid banter in the car. That was fun. But
he had a great part in this episode. Like, I thought this was one of his most well thought out, surprisingly, for the episode it was. I thought they gave him a whole heck of a lot to do. So, like, the whole episode is kind of revolving around Michael and RC, who have been dispatched to, it's like an unnamed city, right? We don't actually know where.
No,
it is,
Mount Durfee. Mount Durfee. No, Mount Durin. Yeah, okay. There was a city. Well, I don't know if they actually said it, but they did like a close-up on a map of where they were, sort of.
Oh, you're right. They did. Yes. But I wasn't paying attention.
Mount DeLorca. How about that?
Mount DeLorca. All right. Yeah. But so the basic idea of the episode is that Michael and RC3 have been dispatched to Mount DeLorca to basically rescue this American citizen who has been arrested at the Capitol. And so that's basically the gist of the whole episode. But in order to get there, they have to, like, Capitol City is, like, in the midst of a giant volcanic eruption.
Also in the midst of a coup and, an army takeover.
Yes.
At the same time. So I was confused. Were they going to rescue people for the volcano, or because that cabinet minister, whoever that guy was, got jailed?
Okay, so I was confused about that too, because right before we find out about Michael and RC, there's that moment very close to the beginning where the military comes into the Capitol building and they stage this takeover because the president, according to these men, the president bungled the national emergency. I'm assuming they're talking about the volcanic eruption, and
yes.
don't agree with the way the president handled it, so the military is staging a coup. so that they can take over and do things the way that they want to do things.
Sure, okay.
But I'm never clear on if Michael and Kit or Michael and RC3 were going to stop that.
Yeah.
Or if they were going to rescue Harrington, because Harrington gets arrested at the same time that we see Michael and Kit arriving. So there's like a timing issue with seeing them arrive. Again, I mean, we're used to the timing issues with this show, but it was a little unclear as to what their actual job was over the course of the episode.
Yeah, I was just thoroughly confused about the motive behind all of it. And it doesn't matter. Who cares?
Right. I don't care. I do, because I'm still talking about it, but that's okay. I have to say, another one of my favorite scenes in the episode was a little bit later in the episode, after Michael's been arrested. Actually, let's talk about Michael getting arrested. So Michael decides that he's going to just break in. He's going to walk right through the front door of the Capitol building.
Yeah.
This is the best.
It's the safest way. It's the best way to do it. I can get in there. No problem. Okay. Sure. Great. Go ahead.
Okay. You go ahead and do that. And he's like, you know, Kit, what do you got for me? And he prints out, once again, a perfectly laminated government-issued ID from the Capitol with his real name and a very sexy picture of Michael, like very stoic photo of Michael's face. And Michael's like, yeah, I'm just going to walk right through the front door. That's perfect. This is great. And he actually gets to the point where the colonel, the guy, you know, the head guy who's setting up the coup, gets to the point where the colonel is about to let Michael have Harrington back when this guy comes in with a gun and exposes Michael. Now, the guy that comes in, he ends up being a mole that we see a little bit earlier in the episode, and he rats Michael out, and then they arrest Michael. Am I there? Am I close?
Yeah, that's exactly what happens.
Did I confuse everybody?
I'm confused.
It's really,
yeah,
really
I'm just, you know, and it's just, I'm lost. I'm lost talking about it because it felt very broken up and disjointed. Just like almost like multiple plots, like Kit and RC, and then what's the woman who, the guerrilla leader?
Her name was Lisa.
Lisa, who's also a television personality. Okay, another big part that I really liked was Kit's disguise.
Just the dirty mattresses?
Yeah, dirty mattresses. And they thought that they were going to sneak back in with Lisa in the front seat, being a rebel leader from the past, and also being a television personality that everybody recognizes. And they decide to disguise Kit, but not her. So
No, at all. Oh, my God. They didn't even put her in the back seat.
No.
And I actually did like that, because when the guard comes over to question him and they start talking about maybe this is Lisa, Kit drops his voice into the radio and basically starts talking about how Lisa has been spotted elsewhere. So they all leave their post at the border and just drive away.
Yeah, I just don't like these guys. I don't like any of it. And that's, to me, it's just like all like lazy. Like every single I'm saying like too much. Every single obstacle that they encounter is just easily thwarted, or just, oh, let's just get out of the way. Let's do something else. Let's just, you know, everything that happens is just pointless. Frustrated me so much to watch this.
My favorite part, I think one of my two favorite parts, both involving RC in a really good part here. So when Michael gets arrested and RC's trying to come up with a way that he's going to get into the Capitol so that he can rescue Michael. So he and Lisa go to the local dive bar or whatever. Lisa's wearing this terrible blonde wig, and she hits on one of the guys, like one of the colonel, whatever he is. He hits on one of the guys, and RC comes around the corner and like instigates a fight with him.
Yeah,
and RC gets the shit kicked out of him by all of these mercenaries in the bar.
But that's like, that's his great idea to get into jail, is to get his ass kicked.
That's it. Because when they beat the shit out of him and they're dragging him off, he looks up at Lisa and just gives her like a thumbs up, like, this
thumbs
is it.
Up. I
the
love
whole
it.
Plan's coming together.
Yeah, and then he goes to jail, but they just give him like, you know, KP duty or something. You know, he's just like mopping floors.
What the shit was that?
I don't know. What is this?
That's what I wrote. My note was like, so he gets arrested, but he's put on janitorial duty? Like, what the fuck? Come on.
And also, this is, I really think this is all the same day. I didn't recognize a nighttime at all in here.
I don't think there was. I think this is all within about probably 8 to 12 hours.
Yeah, totally.
This whole shebang.
Very small country.
Now, I love the next part. So RC is the janitor. He comes in to clean up the mess. So Michael's been arrested. He's in his jail cell, and he's across the cell from Harrington, the American citizen that he has to rescue. Michael, like, drops his plate of food out of his cell on the ground, and RC comes running in. He's like, oh, I'll clean that up for you. Ba-da-da-da-da. Knocks out the head security guard, and then, best part of the episode by far is when Michael gets... So Michael's been sentenced to death by firing squad. Mm-hmm. Best part of the episode by far is RC knocks out the guard, puts on his uniform, switches out all the guns with blanks. And then when we cut to the next scene of Michael at the firing squad, they all open fire and just gun Michael down. He goes to the ground. They carry him off and run away. And I love that cut to commercial with RC, the cameras like over... are like underneath RC, and did you see the oh my god, Dave, talk,
we hate this episode, I don't want to even talk about it anymore.
You see the nose of the gun like in the camera when he points it, and it cuts to commercial. That right there, that whole sequence was the best sequence in the whole episode.
But I knew the entire time that it was RC who was the firing squad leader.
Oh god, yes.
And all of a sudden he knows how they do things there, like he knows all the procedures, and nobody notices that. Who are you? Where'd you come from? I don't know you.
Why wouldn't he know, Greg?
I don't know.
Because he's RC3. I don't know. And as Kit said earlier, RC3 is extremely resourceful when it comes to scamming.
Okay.
I can't understand, like, is that a compliment from Kit to RC, or is Kit just being a dick to RC at this point?
I think Kit's just being factual, and like it's emotionless. He's just saying he's very good at being a scammer.
All right, fair enough.
That's, I don't know.
So my other favorite line, so Michael, when Michael regains consciousness and wakes up, and he and RC kind of go together and they knock out both the guards, you know, you see that Michael's got like two or three, we assume they're blood stains on the front of his shirt, and he looks at RC and he goes, hey, I got a question for you. What did you use for the blood? And RC's like, oh, you don't want to know. What did he use, Greg?
Yeah, what that makes it like, I don't want to know where you got that. Okay, was it real blood?
Right, did you, like, what did you do? Is it your blood? Like,
is it something else? Is it another? Is it an animal's blood?
It's like, that's
what, or is it something that's red that you had to get somehow?
Because my first thought was, they really just hooked up, like, these blood capsules, whatever they were. Like, they got everything connected and hooked up so fast that because I don't know how much time passed from Michael being taken out to the firing squad, but, like, they got everything together so fast, but I want to know what that was. If any of our listeners are listening,
God,
tell us what RC3 used for the blood of Michael.
For the blood of Michael.
The blood of Michael.
This is the blood of Michael. The blood of my blood.
This is the blood of Michael.
He used lava. That's what he used.
All still hot.
Yeah, burns right through him. But the funny thing, okay, so RC knocked out that. So the security guard that RC knocked out had actually taken Michael's communicator earlier.
Yes.
So Michael hasn't been able to talk to Kit. So, but before Michael and RC leave, Michael's like, all right, hey, let's get that communicator off of the guard that RC knocked out and tied up half an hour ago.
Right.
Makes me think, RC, why didn't you take the communicator off of the guard when you knocked him out and tied him up way back when?
I don't. Okay. Add-on question. Michael has given RC a comm link, so where's that comm link? Or is there only just one for the Foundation? Do you think it was just Michael's, or do you think they have more than one?
The comm link was all shot up, remember? Because RC, they're back at the rendezvous point,
yeah.
And Lisa's men thought RC was an imposter, so they shot everything up and took him prisoner.
That's right. You know what?
We skipped over that because we hated this episode.
I don't care, and I like jumping around. I like jumping around more. The other things we need to talk about are Kit's 2.5-mile drive across the lava flow twice. And
yes.
Again, not bad model work, but also not the most convincing look of, I guess I've never seen a car drive through a lava flow because it would melt instantly.
See, that's what I would think, like, okay, give Kit the benefit of the doubt that he could withstand the temperature for a short amount of time.
Yeah.
But also, when you think about it, it's molten rock. It's still really dense.
Right.
He wouldn't have plowed through it like it was custard. He would have ridden on top of it.
Because Kit's going like 200 miles an hour through 600-degree lava, but you're right. Like, no, it'd be like driving through fucking molasses.
It would be super heavy. He's like pushing tons and tons of molten rock aside.
Right.
Driving around. Whatever. I don't care. I don't care.
Yes, you do, Greg. That's why we're still talking about it, sweetheart.
You're right, honey.
So I guess, okay, so what were the parts we didn't really like? There was a lot that we didn't like, again, and I think we've kind of touched upon a lot of the moments in the episode. It's just, I don't know, this episode just didn't warrant me taking the time to really talk about what was going on over the course of the episode. It was lazy.
Yeah.
It was haphazard. It was very clear. One of the mics from I Used to Watch This had asked me this question on Twitter today. He had asked, like, at this point, did the creators know that the show was going off the air? And I think they did. You know, we're 3 weeks away from the end of the show. I think they knew that this show was going off the air, because I the next couple weeks of episodes do not sound good.
I'm hopeful. It's so, and, you know, we've seen other episodes like this. This was particularly bad, but there's something about an episode that when it, I don't know what it is. Like, some just feel disjointed, like they're not connected well.
Yes.
Like there's too much going on, and that's what happened in this one. Ooh, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Hannaford grapefruit seltzer.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful, David.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you know, I hear what you're saying though, and I agree. This was just very poorly put together. And again, a lot of the episodes aren't that well put together, but
right.
This just it didn't, no pun intended, the episode didn't flow well, I guess, is is what
no,
I'm saying.
No, it was too much. It was just, there's way too much stuff and just too much improbability.
Yeah.
And you know, whatever. And too many ends that didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like all of it. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, no, like I was going to say, so, you know, and again, for a season that is widely reviled, like for people who, you know, that people don't like this season very much, you know, we've gone 18 episodes into the fourth season. This is the first one where I've truly been like, God, this is just bad. Like, at least it was like a level of magic to most of the other episodes that made it thoroughly enjoyable to watch. Like, this just wasn't fun. It even looked like the actors weren't really in it at this point, you know?
That was another thing. It felt like a lot of the actors were just not good. I didn't believe any of them in the roles that they played.
Right.
Like, I didn't get it. Like, I wasn't brought up. Caught up in
it. I'm looking to see where in production order it was filmed. I'm curious to know if it was one of the last. No, actually, this was the 18th episode filmed in the season, and it was the 18th aired, so it's not like this was like they shot it out of production. It's not like this was the last episode shot. They still had four episodes to go after this, you know?
Yeah, it was definitely an off one. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
they happened, but it was bad.
Yeah, again, but for a season that I've loved very, very highly, I was very disappointed in this, because like I got up early, like I made a pot of coffee for myself so I wouldn't have to wake anyone up. Like I set it to go off. I set the coffee for 5:45. I got up at 6. I got myself a cup of coffee. It should speak volumes that I think the coffee was bad because it tasted awful and I was just already in a bad mood at like 6:03. It was really bad. I am hopeful that we can find more redeeming qualities in the next couple of episodes before we close out the show. I think next week, so we have a guest on next week, and he watched this show when it was on the air. He's about, I think he's almost, he's exactly 10 years older than me. So he watched this show on the air when it was on. So he has memories of watching this. So I'm hoping that he can kind of enhance our viewing pleasure over the course of the episode. Greg, do you want to hear what's coming up next week?
I really, really do, right? Because I'm hoping that there's a glimmer of light.
Oh, and like we did it, 20 minutes of conversation about the episode, Greg.
Great. Wonderful.
That's all I wanted. All right, here we go. Next episode, season 4, episode 19, Fright Night.
I mean, these titles are not very hopeful.
No. Here it is, though. But
I got a bad taste in my mouth from this one, so I'm not feeling great.
I'm a little excited about this one, though, just based on the one-sentence synopsis. Michael and Kit are called in to investigate sabotage on a movie soundstage that is said to be haunted.
Yes.
Okay. Do you know who's in this episode?
Henry Gibson.
Oh, I wish. Oh, Pinky? Wasn't that his name in the MacGyver episode?
Yeah, and he waddled around, shuffled everywhere. Yeah.
Robert England is in this episode.
Robert England. Oh, great, because he gets a shot in the stomach later on in one of the MacGyver episodes.
Right. Tim Wexler. How do I remember that? That was like
Tim Wexler,
like
yeah.
The first half of season 1.
Yeah, and that's when they in the nuclear power plant.
Yes. Yeah, great.
And he gets shot in the stomach and dies over like 6 hours.
I was going to say, wasn't it like a slow death? Like he gets shot in like the first 20 minutes and then just slowly.
Yes. Anyway.
So anyway, Robert Englund is in this episode. So I don't know. I don't know. The idea of like Kit and Michael like running around a Hollywood soundstage just really kind of. I'm hoping it's going to be good.
And you know Kit's going to be running around, too. He's going to be, like, hiding places and all sorts of stuff.
Of course he is. I don't know. I think it's going to be good. I hope it is, because it's going to be a long, what do we have, three? So we have this episode, 20 and 21, and then Scent of Roses. So we have four more episodes to go. So
that's going to push us into January, isn't
it? I think our last episode is the first Sunday in January. As long as this comes out before the episode I did of Balderdash Academy on YouTube, because they introduced me as the host of the Airwolf years.
Oh,
so I think that episode airs like January 21st. So we just have to get it done before the end of January. And I think we're okay. I think we're on track for that.
Lovely.
Unless you want to triple up and we'll just release three episodes a week for the next.
God, I don't know if I have the energy.
No, I don't have it in me at all. I was going to ask you, Greg, and I kind of jumped the gun. Did you have a Schmankman this week, or do you just not give a shit? You give it to the whole episode?
My Schmankman's the lava flow.
It's true. Yeah. Wait, the model work lava flow or the stock footage lava flow?
I guess the model work. Well, the lava flow, like the presence of the lava flow.
All right. I like that. This whole episode is a Schmankman because it's a piece of shit. There. What do you think of that?
But I don't think you can get any blunter than that.
Greggy Smeggy.
Ugh. What?
I love you.
Oh, okay.
Hey, what are you having for dinner tonight?
I am going to make some tomato soup.
Oh, tell me you're making grilled cheese.
Yes.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah, with Swiss and Havarti, and I might put some bacon in it.
What? What an amazing winter evening dinner. Like, just tomato soup and grilled cheese?
Yeah, just carbs.
Oh my god. Kristen and I, so she'll be home in a little while, but we're going to be making our own pizzas with ricotta cheese.
Oh man. Yeah.
We got a little couple of slices of prosciutto we're going to put over the top. We have this wonderful I think we're going to try this wonderful like fig spread to go over the top of the pizza. We're going to get really fancy tonight because
you should grill it. You should get into grilling your pizza.
Oh,
it's delicious.
And in fact, I should check the propane tank because I think we're going to grill for Christmas dinner.
Oh, nice.
I think we decided that because everything sucks. Because I think our Christmas this year is going to be very non-traditional. I think we're just going to I think we're going to do something really off the cuff this year just because everything is so hard for all of our family. I think we're just going to do something super non-traditional. Like I told Kristen, I said, let's just get a bunch of hot dogs, some sausages and hamburgers, and let's just fucking grill out Christmas night.
Oh, yeah.
It just sounds amazing. And that
just grill out. Oh, that sounds like a really good idea. If the weather's great, let's grill out all night.
Yes. That's exactly.
Make a turducken.
What about a turbrisket, Phil?
Tell me about that. What's that?
It was on a TV show once. It's turbrisket, Phil. It's a turkey stuffed inside a brisket stuffed inside a gefilte fish.
Can't put a turkey in a brisket?
It's a gefilte fish and brisket stuffed inside a turkey. So it's a turbrisket, Phil. I don't remember what show I heard that on.
Sounds awful.
Can you tell that I'm vamping so we can fill a little bit of extra time in the episode?
Yeah, I can see it. But, you know, people, this is really kind of like almost a behind-the-scenes episode. We did what we had to do, but, you know, we haven't talked to each other, like, just chit-chatted in quite a long time. So let everybody in on this bullshit.
You know, I have to say, so this is what when Kristen and I do Cordelia, our listeners always say that they come for the talk of Anne of Green Gables, but they always stay for the banter because we usually do about 15 or 20 minutes of episode talk, and then the last 40 minutes is just us talking about what movies we watch, what food we're eating. What we usually go through and read the police blotter for our local newspaper.
Oh, that's a great idea.
But since quarantine has hit, there's been like 2 weeks since March that there's been a police blotter, so we haven't been able to read it because nothing's been happening in my town. But this is what
we do.
We shoot the shit. That reminds me. Holy shit, Greg.
David?
I have to tell people that I think it's going to be so this episode releases on December 13th. This coming week, I don't know what day yet, I was a guest on the Pop-Up Filmcast.
Ooh.
It is a movie podcast where I went on and I actually talked about this amazing, amazing Christmas movie. They're short form because they do it over 12 days. So it's like 25 minutes, but we talked about this amazing movie. I'm not going to spoil it because I want you guys to hear it. I hope that some of you have heard of it because it's one of my favorites. So I'll link to it in the show notes. I'll link to the podcast in the show notes, so the pop-up film cast. I highly suggest you guys listen if you haven't, but definitely check it out. But my episode should be coming out at some point this week. I think I'm day 6 on the 12 days of
cool.
the pop-up.
Very nice, yeah. Man. That's great. You know what? That does remind me about Christmas films. It's about time to watch Krampus again.
You know what movie I was going to watch the other night, but I couldn't find it? I could have sworn I owned it. Rare Exports.
Dingle. Oh, Rare Exports?
I definitely said Exports, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Rare Exports. Yeah, that's a great film.
I think I'm going to watch that soon. Krampus is another one. Did you and I see that in theaters together?
No, Christy doesn't want to watch it.
No, I thought we saw it in theaters.
Oh, we did. Yeah. I thought you said you guys. So are you talking about us in the third person?
Like you and I. Yeah, you and Greg and Dave saw it together in the movie theater.
We did. We did see it together.
That's right.
In the movie theater.
Maybe I'll watch Krampus this week too. That's another good
one. I gotta get some eggnog. I gotta get some brandy too.
I'm gonna have
What kind of brandy you think? Do you have some still?
Didn't it used to be down here in the basement somewhere? Oh yeah, we moved the liquor cabinet upstairs.
Okay.
I gotta look and see if I still have any Christian Brothers. If not, I'm gonna have to go buy some.
Yeah,
on my lunch break. Because
I would always get like the E&J or the Christian Brothers. You know, something, you know, $20 or less. That's fine.
Yeah.
But because you're mixing it with eggnog,
Thinking this year, I think I might splurge because the Christian Brothers is what, $10-$12 for a bottle. I might splurge and go for the $20 bottle of brandy.
Get some cognac, perhaps.
Ooh, that's, you know what? I might just go fancy as shit. Oh,
get some Hennessy,
Randy. If you're listening, Randy Hunt from the We All Have a Story podcast, who's going to be on the show next week, get some eggnog and brandy for next week's episode, because we will be drinking that during the show.
Mm-hmm.
I will drink myself into eggnog belly.
Eggnog belly, man, I haven't had that in a while. Oh, you know when you're getting to the bottom of the glass and the eggnog's starting to get warm? But because you know, normally when I make eggnog and brandy, I do it in a pint glass. So it's like, you know, it's substantial.
Oh, shit,
by the time you get to the bottom, you know, like you get all the chunks in the glass and all the flakes and you're drinking it and it's all warm and it's like, and it feels like it's 4 times as much volume in your stomach as it should be. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, do you put spices on the top of it? Like a little
I do nutmeg. Have I done cinnamon? I don't know. I don't think I have any, which is why I haven't. But yeah, nutmeg.
Okay.
It's delicious. Delicious.
I usually just drop an entire ginger root like right
into really? Suck, use it like a straw.
Yes. I suck right through the ginger root. It tastes awful.
I just put pickled ginger straight into my eggnog.
But seriously though, I'm gonna have to go out on my lunch break tomorrow and pick up eggnog and brandy.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely gonna happen.
Or just buy a gallon of egg. Do they sell it in gallons? Yeah, I think Oakhurst sells gallons of eggnog.
I think they do.
Get a gallon and then, you know, drink a third of it and then refill that with brandy. And then shake it all up and drink that on the show.
Right out of the brandy bottle?
Right out of the gallon carton that you filled up with booze.
Perfect. I love it.
You know what? We should try? We should do eggnog and Jägermeister.
I don't like Jägermeister. I haven't had it enough, but I remember the last time I drank it, I was not a big fan of it. And it didn't make me sick, not like vodka. I haven't had vodka since college. Mm. But Jäger...
I don't think it would be very good.
I worry about my delicate sensibilities.
Because I'm
clearly a delicate flower.
Definitely. I don't want you to go snowblow and vomit everywhere.
Or shit myself while I'm walking up.
And then snowblow through it.
Spitting shit on. Oh, man alive,
man.
Greg.
Did we just kill another 15 minutes with this crap?
I was just going to say, I think ending the show on my snowblower shit is probably the way to do it. What do you think? Should we say goodnight?
We can't top that. Good night.
All right, guys. Have a great week. Discipline has never been a problem, my dear. Hang on to your fenders, pal.
I'm thinking, kid. I'm not upset.
Your pulse rate is up, your blood pressure is high, and you're gripping the steering wheel with alarming pressure.
You've been listening to a podcast of the PodFix Network. Discover more Audible gems like this at podfixnetwork.com. Make sure to catch up-to-the-minute network shenanigans by following @PodFix on Twitter, official_PodFix on Instagram, @PodFix Network on Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to PodFix Presents wherever you choose to find podcasts. The PodFix Network, artist owned and loved.